Call Back the Past.
The year is 1900, the first year of the 20th century. It was to introduce the first escalator, the first caterpillar tractor, invented by Benjamin Holt in America, and the start of the underground electric railway system in London. That music had scientific significance as well. Written in 1900, it is called the Zeppelin March, and it commemorates the first airship built by Graf Zeppelin in that year. The year also provided cellophane, invented by Joseph Brandberger, as well as the acetylen lamp and the Browning revolver. There were land pioneers too. The Zionist movement towards Palestine was underway, and amongst those early settlers was one Ben Gurion, later Prime Minister of Israel, who tells of the first kibbutzim, or settlements.
Well, the beginning really was, they didn't intend what the kibbutz became now. It was rather a way to go back to the soil. It was very difficult for us, because when we came then, we found here a great deal of cheap labor, and we couldn't live under the conditions which an Arab laborer did live. And so, some of our people thought we must change the entire structure of agriculture. Not private property, hired labor, and managing the farm for profits, but combining national land, what we call self-labor, and to work. Of course, one must make a living, but the main thing is to achieve the mission, the historical mission, that the people came over, took upon themselves, to regenerate the Jewish homeland.
1900 supplied a surprising number of well-remembered books, among them Jack London's The Son of the Wolf, Lord Jim by Joseph Conrad, Lyman Baum's The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and Sister Carrie by Theodore Dreiser. There was music, too. Elgar's Dream of Gerontius, Sibelius's Finlandia Overture, and Puccini's famous opera, La Tosca. Pablo Picasso was 19 years old as the new century began, and he had just painted a Montmartre scene. In doing so, he was vying with such great impressionists as Cézanne, Monet, Lautrec, and Rousseau. It was the year, too, in which one D.F. Davis made his name live after him by donating the Davis Cup for international tennis competition. And, of course, in South Africa, there was war. Veteran Williams fought on the side of the British, and a few years ago recalled the casual way in which one could join up.
Well, I was quite a nipper, only about 15 or 16. I didn't much know what it was all about, but I was in Cape Town at the time, and as I was walking past the old window hall one day, I noticed a group of recruiting sergeants chatting for volunteers. Well, you know what it is. I was young and wanting a bit of adventure, so I went up to one of them and volunteered to join a mounted regiment. I could ride a horse, you see. Well, he was quite pleased to see me. They used to get about half a crown apiece for each man they enlisted. So I found myself among a party of about a dozen others. And we were all taken out to Greenpoint Common, where they had some horses. They tried us out to see if we could ride. Well, I could ride all right, which was more than some of them could, so I passed the test easy. They sent me back to the drill hall for a medical, and that same night I was on my way up to Joburg in a coal truck with a couple of hundred others.
The war was going badly for the Boers in 1900 with the arrival of Lord Roberts and his chief of staff, Kitchener. In short order came the relief of Ladysmith, Mafeking, and Kimberley, and a song.
Goodbye, Dolly, I must leave you, though it breaks my heart to go. Something tells me I am needed at the front to fight the foe. See the boys in blue are marching, and I can no longer stay. Once I hear the bugle calling, goodbye, Dolly Gray. Hear the rolling of the drums, Dolly Gray. Back from war the regiment comes, Dolly Gray. On your lovely face so fair, I can see a look of care. For your soldier boy's not there, Dolly Gray. For the one you love so well, Dolly Gray. In the midst of battle fell, Dolly Gray. With his face toward the foe, as he died, he murmured low. I must say goodbye and go. Goodbye, Dolly, I must leave you, though it breaks my heart to go. Something tells me I am needed at the front to fight the foe. See the boys in blue are marching, and I can no longer stay. Hark, I hear the bugle calling, goodbye, Dolly Gray.
Dolly Gray served only to deepen the despair of the Boers, who had had to suffer Cronje's surrender at Paardeberg and the annexation of the Orange Free State and Transvaal by Britain. The conflict, however, provided for the first meeting of two great future statesmen, Jan Smuts and Winston Churchill. Churchill recalled,
"It was not an agreeable occasion. I was a wet and weary prisoner of war, and he was questioning me, and even cross-questioning me on my status as a war correspondent and the part I'd played in the fighting for the armored train in Natal."
Churchill also recalled Johannesburg in 1900.
"I have not seen your great city since I bicycled through its deserted streets on the eve of its capture by Lord Roberts's army. But I believe you still dig for gold in the neighborhood and sometimes find it, or not, as the case may be."
Musicals of 1900 included The Casino Girl and Fiddle de Dee, but it was Owen Hall and Leslie Stewart's Floridora that had the cues forming at the box office. In addition to its famous sextet of girls called Typewriter Girls, as typists were then known, Floridora had an excellent score which included songs like this one.
Tell me, pretty maiden, what this very simple girl is doing.
Tell me, maiden, what the girl is doing.
Then take a little walk with me, and then I can see what a most particular girl should be.
I dream of you too well to let you go and flirt with those at home you know.
Well, don't mind, little girl.
Not quite fair to them if you told them that you
I won't care a pin for your sisters if you love me.
Would you say if I said I liked you well?
I'd vow to you.
Would it be a silly thing to do? For I must love someone.
lots of boys you never knew.
Then tell me, gentle sir, the things these very rakish fellows do.
Dear me, they play. I never introduce them to a girl I intend to be my most particular friend.
I won't mind what they do. No man would ever flirt with
it's not worth risking it. I know with them you won't.
I don't want to know them if you will do the flirting.
Of course I will try, for we'll do very well.
I'll bow to
Serious theater, Chekhov's Uncle Vanya drew attention, as did George Bernard Shaw with his three plays for Puritans, The Devil's Disciple, Caesar and Cleopatra, and Captain Brassbound's Conversion. Apart from the war in South Africa, there was trouble in China, where the Boxer Uprising had just been put down, and also in Manchuria, invaded by Russia at a cost of 45,000 Chinese lives. Samuel Clemens, or Mark Twain as he'd become known, in a 1900 lecture on public education, referred to these world events. The speech you hear is being read by E.G. Marshall.
Why, it is only an hour since I read a cablegram in the newspapers beginning, Russia proposes to retrench. I was not expecting such a thunderbolt. And I thought what a happy thing it will be for Russians when the retrenchment will bring home the 30,000 Russian troops now in Manchuria to live in peaceful pursuits. I thought this was what Germany should do also without delay, and that France and all the other nations in China should follow suit. Why should not China be free from the foreigners who are only making trouble on her soil? If they would only all go home, what a pleasant place China would be for the Chinese. We do not allow Chinamen to come here, and I say in all seriousness that it would be a graceful thing to let China decide who shall go there. China never wanted foreigners any more than foreigners wanted Chinamen. And on this question, I am with the Boxers every time.
Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seath and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.